That's actually a drill I have.
Oh, really?
To run barefoot and sing Christmas carols, to use all your breath. And it's actually harder than it sounds.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, and this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultra runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation will go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast and Facebook page. My guest today is David Scoggins, and I'm sorry, I always forget to do this. Ask and make sure I pronounce your name correctly. So
that's correct.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was like, oh my, I did it again. But I met David through, we are both members of a Facebook group for barefoot runners. He has a YouTube channel called, I wrote it down, and it's the Faces of Dave vlog, I believe is what it's called.
Right.
And so I've seen his stories on YouTube and wanted to have him come on and just share some of those stories and conversation here. So Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And what I always do is ask people to kind of give a, how did you get started running? And I know a little bit of this from watching your YouTube channel, but yes. just tell everybody, how did you get started as a runner?
Well, when I started, I was actually very little. My sister, she kind of introduced it to me. I had a lot of esteem issues, and I really wasn't doing anything. So one day she just grabbed me by my collar and just said, hey, let's go out here and go running. So we just went running, and it was just something I was able to do. And it was very, I guess you can say, meditative, just to kind of go around the track and kind of run and think. And so from there, I just kind of kept practicing it on my own randomly. And when I eventually, I'm kind of speeding through it all, made it to high school, I had a choice to do modern dance or cross country. Mm-hmm. So I've been running already. So I said, you know what, I'm going to run cross country. So from there, started my running career, from just running cross country, running track. And the funny thing is, I was never a first place runner. I was just a runner. Mm-hmm. But running was just something that I just loved to do at that time.
Yeah. So was your sister older than you?
She is. She was older than me by like about 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So was she already running? I mean, so how did your sister know, I need to take my little brother out running?
No. Well, she was just, my sister was very adventurous. She just liked to get into everything. And whatever she did, she brought me into it. And if she went to Disneyland, she brought me along. She's the reason why I am what I am today. If it wasn't for her, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be this. So it's because of her, I'm this. And I tell her that, but she doesn't realize that, hey, you made all this. You created the
monster. Well, you know, that's good to have somebody in your life who's that way for you. I mean, that's a cool thing. So you said you were never, you're on the team, you're competing, you said, but right. you weren't really one of the first top level athletes. So what kept you going?
Well, that's a good question. It just, you know, I always had the mind of endurance. Whatever I did, I always kept going. Whatever I put my mind to, I'm careful what I start, because when I start something, I'm going to keep going until I make it to the end. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm good at it, whether I'm not good at it, when I started it, I just wanted to do it and just keep going. Whether I was not good or good, I just persisted in doing it. I mean, today, the same people who I ran with in cross country, they don't run it anymore.
Yeah.
But I kept going.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, you know, that's something, especially in high school. I mean, I know when I was in high school, you know, I quit easily, you know, and I was just, and even throughout life, I mean, that's a really good skill to have, is to that kind of perseverance.
Yeah. But, and I really needed it, because I was, I guess, psychologically, I was always a runner, I always ran from things. So it was just, it was very psychological for me just to do that. So it's much deeper than just endurance.
Okay. Okay. But so what kind of benefits did you see through that when you were in high school and your early years?
Well, here's the funny thing. Running cross country kept me away from being jumped by all the people in high school. The guys couldn't jump me after school. So I'm after school. This guy is running, so I don't have a chance to jump him. So, but yeah, it made me stronger physically and stronger mentally. But here is the one thing. I never, and you don't mind how deep I go with this, correct?
No, I don't. Yeah. I mean, this, that's up to you. I mean, this, with, this is what we call a trail talk. And so, you know, we tend to do that, tend to allow kind of anything goes, as long as you're comfortable with it. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, even though I ran cross country, there were still a lot of anatomical correction I needed. So I got benefits superficially as far as getting stronger and all that, but there were some other issues that were developing as far as I had like anatomical issues like flat foot, knock knee, pigeon toed, lower back issues. And as I got older, that began to materialize itself. So as we run, that begins to cause wear and tear on the body.
Right.
And so that's a whole nother story how I transitioned over to barefoot. Because from running cross country with shoes to going barefoot, I got the benefits initially, but then the other things started rearing their head. You know, what's going on with my ankles? Why is my back hurting? Why am I getting blisters on my feet? I mean, why am I getting all these issues? So that's how I kind of stumbled into barefoot running.
Yeah. So you were running after high school as well? Did you?
Correct. I did. I was actually like to train people, like, hey, let's go running. So my goal is, hey, let's get out there and let's just beat the pavement together. But I really had no structure. This is how you should run. This is how your form should be. I just said, let's just run together, whatever happens.
Well, and the shoes helped. I mean, that's the thing about wearing shoes is you can run however you just haphazardly.
Exactly.
So how long did you run then in shoes after high school? What was your...
Oh, it was a while. I ran in shoes. Oh, high school was like 86. I don't want to date myself. 86, military. Oh, maybe about a good 15 years, maybe.
Okay.
15, 20 years. But I noticed on the heel of the shoes, the bottom of my soles were getting ran down on either side. And then I also noticed my lower back was hurting. So that's when I started, the wear and tear started happening. You started running. You know, when you're young, your body will allow you to get away with stuff for so long. And as you get older, your body starts to hit that warning light, hey, there's something going on. I know you're running, but your mechanics are not right.
Right. Well, and if you're wearing out the heels of your shoes, you're probably like a lot of people, you know, striking with your heel first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's the funny part. So I'm striking with my heel, and then as I'm progressed and just started randomly running, getting more into it, then I saw on a site, you know, you're not supposed to strike with the heel. You're supposed to strike midfoot. So I started trying to do the midfoot, but my heel and my shoe was so ran down, and the shoe was almost like, and I'm not trying to put a stamp on it or anything like that, but I feel the shoe kind of prevented me from seeing what I needed to do, because the heels, I mean, the sole was kind of taking control of what I was doing.
But so you have quite a bit of cushion in the shoe.
Yeah, well, see, that's the bad part. It was so much cushion that when the heel ran out, then it caused me to land really odd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing I see in a, I mean, when I was running in shoes, I mean, I thought, surely I should be able to get more than 300 miles out of these.
Correct.
And you know, and then I was buying shoes and my wife was like, you need shoes again. Yeah, exactly. And at $150 a pop, exactly. it's like, yes, this is this is not an inexpensive sport to do.
Yeah. And after that, I had actually tore my rotator cuff. My whole arm went limp and it went dead. So, and I think you probably heard this. You've heard the story superficially, but in detail, my whole arm went dead and limp. But I had started making some progress with the running. And I said, I hate to lose the little progress I was making because I was running super long distances. I mean, I ran 22 miles in shoes. I got blisters on my feet, bunions. I mean, I just got everything on my feet. When my arm went dead, the little progress I tried to make, I wanted to keep. But in the garage in the morning, I would work out and exercise with no shoes. Well, I'm like, okay, let me mimic going back and forth running. Mm-hmm. So that was my first time actually running with no shoes in the garage, going back and forth. So I said, okay, it feels good. I just got out of surgery. My arm is in a sling. I can go back and forth in the garage. Let me put on these shoes. Let me go out there and do it. I did it and my shoulder blew up.
So was it the running that aggravated your, made your shoulder go bad, or?
I think it was the repetition.
The repetition of swinging your arms?
The repetition of moving it.
Okay.
And when I was running in the shoe, the impact was so, I didn't realize how hard the impact was because I was getting lower back problems, knee problems, ankle problems, and everything. So the impact was so bad that when I was running with the shoe, my shoulder had swollen up and I had to stop for a day.
Oh, wow.
So I said, so what was the difference between the shoe and me in the garage? So I said, oh, you didn't have the shoe on.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked online and said, this is a thing. This running with no shoes is a thing. So I actually went and ran that same distance with no shoes. I had no problems with my shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my shoulder. So from then on out, I've never looked at a running shoe again.
So you went full barefoot.
I went full barefoot. I know a lot of people you hear would say, oh, I wear zeros, I wear five fingers, I wear sandals. My thing is I'm totally, totally barefoot 100% of the time, mm-hmm. unless I just want to have a boot just to work my leg out. So 1% with a shoe, and that's rare to never, and everything else is barefoot.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you actually discovered barefoot kind of on your own. It wasn't like, I mean, so many people read the book Born to Run, you know, and or they've read some other book about barefoot. And that's how I got it. I mean, I found out about barefoot online, just from, you know, running across people who ran in minimal shoes. But you kind of just fell into it on your own.
Correct. Yeah, I just kind of stumbled into it. I think that's probably why I didn't wear a barefoot shoe, because I just stumbled into it and thought, oh, you're supposed to do this with no shoe at all.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't understand how you, quote unquote, barefoot runners ran out there with all those rocks. So, no, I didn't get the proper training when I started doing it. I overdid it when I started. I actually, because I didn't really get the Born to Run book. I didn't know who Chris McDougall was or the book or any of that. Mm-hmm. I actually found that stuff out way later. I mean, I ran out in the street and they said, you're not supposed to run out in the street because the nerve endings, they just go on overdrive. So I really messed myself up. But as I drew back, I was able just to ease my way into it.
Okay.
So
how far were you running? Like when you first started out running, and then, you know, what was kind of that sweet spot from, I mean, you said you overdid it, but then you said you backed off. Where did you get to where you could start building up?
Well, I think I started running probably, I think it's probably like a mile And I started gradually building up because I was already a distance runner. So my body was like, it was craving the distance. So I started building up. Once my feet got acclimated to the ground, I was actually to increase my mileage. And I made a video today. It's called Crash, and I'm going to post that. And it's pretty intense. I have an intense training regimen for my feet because I'm constantly running barefoot. I started from the 1 mile, and then so eventually I ran half a marathon.
Okay.
Half a marathon distance with no shoes on.
Okay.
So, and that's in all kinds.
You're primarily running on roads, right? Aren't you?
No, it's half and half. I do the streets, but I find that running on trails, it's really intense. I haven't ran any like real marathons like that, but I there's two trails that I know of specifically that is so funny. I ran, the distance was like 2.5 miles on one and 3 miles for another, but the time to run it was at least about maybe 4 hours. It was a long time because I'm running with no shoes.
Right.
And here's the funny part. So I'm running with my son. He has on the shoes. I don't have on the shoes. And he's just running circles around me. He's like, come on, Dad, you're going too slow. Ah, come on, let's go. Because, you know, people are talking about me like, you're out here with no shoes on. What's wrong with you? And he's running with no shoes. So he says, you know what? I'm going to try this without any shoes just to prove it. And then when he took off the shoes, it's so funny. I didn't realize how fast I was going without having any shoes. But for me, not having any shoes and running out on a trail, I'm actually really fast just to be running on rocks and gravel and glass.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so you've conditioned your feet enough so that you can actually run on the rocks of the trail.
Correct.
Okay.
The rocks and sticks and whatever. Yes. I actually purposefully, there's little areas around me that I actually kind of lightly place my foot along till I can build up. And when it's, my soles, they just got stronger and stronger over time. And then I also tell people when you land on your rocks, because you're barefoot, the bottom of your sole is so sensitive, your foot actually kind of acclimates to its landing. And you, it's very scientific, but you just, your body teaches itself how to land.
Yeah. But it takes time to get that, to get that endurance. So, I mean, to get that, your feet built up to that, I would imagine.
Yes. It took a long time. I had a lot of injuries to build up to that. because some of the places I've ran, there's locations that had no lighting at all. Like, just, you know, I'm practicing here, but when I'm in my job, when I travel different cities, I'm not familiar with the environment. So some environments, there's these curves that stick up and it's dark, but I'm running barefoot all the time. So my foot is jamming the curve and I got like a horrendous gash on the bottom of my foot because my foot was not conditioned. I just ran, but I actually have to, I developed a regimen to where my feet, if I bump something, that the injury would be minimal to none at all.
Okay. Okay. So is that the technique that you use as far as your, the way you're landing with your feet so that you're, You don't stub your toe, is that?
Yeah, well, I actually, the first step is just to practice, as you know, with barefoot running, you pick your foot up and place it down and don't drag your foot. That's something I was talking about in the video. Picking it up and placing it down, it's the dragging part, because I got tired and I started, my foot started like doing a sliding motion, and it's that sliding motion that makes you jam up against those, a curb, or there's a, sometimes there's a lip in the sidewalk and your toe grazes that. So I actually developed my own, this routine, because I'm also a martial artist. So there's a lot of conditioning. And so what I call it is curb tapping. I just, you actually go up to the curb as you're running, you jog in place and you kind of lightly tap your toe against the curb. So you can actually do it harder and harder. And eventually, you know, when you stub your toe, you know, when you wake up in the morning, in the middle of the night, or and you bump your toe in against the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm familiar with that feeling.
Yeah. So it helps me with that. And I think the most intense thing that's happened to me through my conditioning, I conditioned the bottom of my foot so much I was running these really nasty streets out here. I mean, the streets were really rugged and just unkempt and jagged and mangled. Trucks were going everywhere. And I was running and I said, oh man, I feel a splinter in my foot. I said, oh, I got to go get this splinter out. So when I got home, I looked at to get the splinter out with the tweezers and I saw it wasn't a splinter. There was actually a very large box staple, all that big. It was a huge box staple. But I just pulled it out. I didn't realize how huge it was, but it felt like a splinter. I said, man, my condition is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took a picture of it a while back, but I don't have the picture anymore. So people think, oh, you're lying.
No, I believe you. I could see how that would, that's just, there's a lot of nerves in the bottom of your feet, but and it's not so much that you toughen your feet. It's that your nerves get used to your nerves get used to the environment, to being out in the environment.
Yes. Yes, they do. And it definitely does. Like if it gets hot, when it gets hot on the pavement, you have to know where to land. You just don't get out there. You don't run on the black street. You find the painted lines and the soft sidewalk. I'm quite sure you probably experienced that before when it gets really hot and you're just out there.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I also, if it's hot, I'll run in the mornings. So before, afternoon running in the pavement is, well, it's just the sun is lower and it's had all night to cool off. And so,
I guess I like to call myself an ultra runner. I like to take myself and push myself. I say, you know what, it's hot. Let me go out there and see what I can do in this environment. Mm-hmm. Or if it's freezing cold and snowing, let me see what I can do in this environment. Because I lived in different environments. So in the hot, I know to run on the painted lines, on the grass, on the man-made sidewalks and not the street. Mm-hmm. But in the snowy environments, I know my feet have no traction, so I know I'm going to slip and fall. So I need to look for the soft patches on the side.
Yeah.
And you really have to work on picking your feet up and putting it down, because if you start sliding, you're going to slip. So because no traction.
Well, yeah. And you also tend to, I think, would probably use gravity to move forward. And especially if it's icy, you have kind of a forward lean.
Yes.
To help get yourself, because your feet will, if you're pushing too hard with your feet on ice, you don't have any traction.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that, because that's something I really promote in my video, that forward lean from the ankles and not the waist, but kind of have that, let the gravity do the work for you. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Really, and that helps a lot with lifting your feet as well. I mean, to lift your feet up and not bring them out in front, because that, I still bring my feet a little bit farther forward than I can get away with it for a while. And then, then after a while, if I have about an hour, it's like, oh, I'm back to my old habits. And so your body starts giving you signs that it's not working.
The cool thing is the body, I believe sometimes it will self-correct once you do that. And the good thing about running, speaking of self-correct, when you run barefoot, especially for me, I can really look at myself and see where I need the corrections. Whereas with the shoe, it was difficult for me to see where I need to make the changes at, especially with being the pigeon-toed. And I don't know if you've ever studied your foot swing when you run. Like when I'm barefoot, you can see like if your foot swings in an awkward direction, that can actually mess up your knees. Like you should be swinging in this, it's sort of like almost like a train, like a pendulum, almost in a pattern, not swinging out or in. I know nobody can see me doing a podcast, but.
Well, instead of swinging back, it has a tendency to swing out to the side.
Yes, exactly. That's what happened. So I didn't do a lot of self-correcting. So yeah, my running is totally different. Totally different.
Yeah. What'll happen to me is I notice if my foot's swinging out to the side, if I'm on trails, oftentimes there's stuff. I mean, the trail is only about a foot wide, And right. So if my foot's swinging out to the side, I'll hit a log or something like that. That's wow. off the side of the trail. I'm like, wow. Oh, I'm not, I'm letting my hips move too much. And my feet are going out to the side.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. It is the hips too. I forgot them. Yeah. The hips, having a hip set, right. I mean, the good thing is about doing a vlog is I can see my errors that I'm mm-hmm. going like, oh, look at how my foot is swinging, or this needs to be lined up correctly. So I almost need to overcompensate. And then my body starts to line itself. If I'm going too much out, then I try to swing, overcompensate and swing in, then the body kind of like realigns itself. So yeah, the vlog has been very helpful in that.
Yeah. And I always enjoy listening to your stories because you'll run. I mean, you're out running with your camera. And so it's like you're talking and running at the same time. And you've told some great stories. I mean, I loved your story about your most embarrassing moment as a runner. But I was like, so I was like, you don't have to tell it now if you don't want to, but I was like,
I can tell it if you want me to.
But yeah, I thought that was a great story because it was on your vlog and I was like, yeah. So people could look you up and find out about it anyway. But yeah. What's your most embarrassing moment as a runner?
Do you really want me to tell the story?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ultra marathon runners. I mean, we talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Before you tell your story, I'll tell you, I was in a race and one of the guys in my running club last year in April, we had this race and he was always good about, he had this thing about you would get extra points. I mean, you, it was not just completing a race. You had these point systems. And so you got 5 points if you would pee off of a bridge.
Oh boy.
And you got something like 10 points if you pooped in the woods. And one guy collected that 10 points because
wow.
we know kind of about that. So
wow.
So hopefully I haven't stolen your thunder.
No, you haven't. So where was it? Cross country. So I had just started and I got really nervous. So I had this nervous condition. I always had to go to the bathroom when we ran cross country because I was just nervous. I said, oh, I'm not going to do good. But so I said, I'm not going to go to the bathroom. I'm just going to wait till it's over with. It was a hot day. So my stomach is already just being really hyperactive. We ran our running uniforms, were these red tops and these clean white shorts, nice white socks, nice colorful tennis shoes. So started the race. It's hot. My stomach is gurgling. And my stomach is saying, David, you should have went to the bathroom.
This is before the start.
You're, this is before the start. You should have went to the bathroom. I don't know what you were trying to prove, but I said, I'm going to keep going. Halfway through the race, my stomach says, okay, that's it. You can't do this anymore. You need to go to the restroom. So I was like, I can't go to the restroom because all these people are running around me. What am I going to do? And so we were kind of like in a wooded area and I seen this little cliff side going into the valley and said, oh, there's a place I can go to the restroom down there. And I had to go really bad. I held it so long, but I've got to go. So I said, okay. I'm going to wait till the last person comes because I wasn't the fastest runner. I waited till the last few people passed me by. I said, I'm going to slide down this hill. I'm going to go to the restroom down there. I'm going to make my way back up and everything will be all gravy. So I started sliding down the side of this hill and lost my footing. So as I lost my footing, I started sliding and stumbling down the hill. So every muscle I needed to hold in what I needed to hold in to go to the bathroom was being now diverted to my legs to try to stabilize me. So everything that I was holding in was coming out. So I was sliding down the hill and going to the restroom by myself. Needless to say, when I got down to the bottom of the ditch, I did not have to go to the bathroom anymore because that was it. So now I'm sitting in the bottom of this creek. The race is still going on. I'm down here. I got these white shorts that are now not white anymore. Mm-hmm. It's dirty, it's muddy. So I said, okay, nobody's down here. I have to actually strip, take off the shorts, wash them in this dirty creek water, put them back on, climb back up the hill again, up this mountain, finish the race. When I got back to the end of the race, the whole setup was taken down. Everybody was going home. They was like, where's Scoggins at? So I'm coming in muddy, dirty, and just, I sat by this girl on the bus that I had a quote unquote crush on, and I smelled the high heaven, and I sat next to her, said, oh my God, somebody stinks on here. That had to be the most embarrassing time, but yeah, that's on my blog channel.
Yeah. That's on your, I thought that was a great story. It's like, and for, for trail runners and, you know, ultra, most of us have had, I mean, maybe we haven't had, you know, if we're doing good, we've gotten someplace where we can actually not go in our pants. but yeah, we've had to, I mean, there's a lot of runners I know have had to find some places that just like, I don't know if I would have gone there, but.
Yeah, I've actually had to run and go at the same time. But of course that's another story in of itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know runners who have, I've heard that story before. And just like, I've come close, but I've heard that story before. Yeah. That's one of those things that most runners, I mean, like that's an issue we all have to deal with. So
yeah, exactly.
So you said you travel and run, and you run in all kinds of different, all kinds of weather. Correct. So how is that, what do you do to take care of your feet? Do you do anything special to keep your feet?
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. Well, and I'm not telling anybody else to do this, but this is what I do because I'm out there running. You know, your feet start off soft before you start running. And then as you run, your foot it develops its own callus when you're running out there. I'm just saying this happens. That's the cycle. Like right now, my feet are soft, but if I go out there and start running, that callus will build up to protect it. At the end of every run, I typically stop and sit down on the ground, put my heel on the ground and kind of drag my heel on the bottom of the feet back and forth to get all that excess dead skin buildup from running barefoot. A lot of people like to post images on Facebook. I don't know why they do it, but they do it anyway. Like these big giant gaping gashes and cracks on your feet. I'm like, you know, you can just slide your feet on the sidewalk and your feet will be like, they will look like you've been to manicurist. So I drag my bottoms of my feet on the sidewalk to get the extra dead skin on it. And it works excellently.
Most sidewalks have a little bit of a texture to them.
Mm-hmm. And it's so rough. I've actually smoothed the sidewalk out in front of my home. So I have to find different spots.
You've been doing it for a while. Yeah, exactly. if you've worn the sidewalk down.
Yeah, or you can buy the stone, or you can buy those stones. I do that. And then, like I said, I don't promote anybody else to do this, but it works for me. I scrub the bottom of my feet on the sidewalk. I rinse them off. And I take a little bit of hand sanitizer and I rub them on the bottom of my feet to kill any excess germs. Mm-hmm. And it actually worked. Like I had, like, I thought a bit of a fungus, the hand sanitizer actually killed it.
Oh, wow.
So it works. And my feet are like perfect. They look like I don't even run barefoot. And that's what I kind of do. And also, I've had a cold weather injury. I got frost nip when I was in Korea. So when it's in the cold weather, I have to be very careful when I run. Mm-hmm. So I have to make sure I really double up on my turnover when it's colder to make my feet stay warmer.
Okay.
So I can't run as long when it's cold outside.
Right. Well, because the cold just kind of multiplies. I mean, it's not, you could start off but as you go farther, your first not able to warm up in between
Correct. And I can't go very far when it's cold because I don't want to be stuck out too far and I have to work my way back and it's cold.
Yeah.
So
does, I'm not familiar with frostbite. Does it, if you have frostbite, then does it, is it more, make you more susceptible to cold?
Right. If you get any kind of injury, especially frostbite, like in your limbs, you're more susceptible to get it than anybody else.
Okay.
Because the limb is already, I mean, I can be in a house and it's cold and my feet, they go numb and you start to turn white and lose the sensation.
Oh, wow.
So when that happens, when I come in, I know the thing is you don't put your feet necessarily by a heater per se. You don't want to warm them up too fast. You just kind of put a blanket over them and a little bit of just a little warm water, nothing too intense because the pain level is beyond, it's extremely painful when it comes back.
Yeah. I've not had frostbite, but if you've had cold feet and to put them into something that's really, really warm, it kind of feels like, you know, it's like needles being stuck in all over.
Yeah, because they're warming them up too fast. So I have to be careful about that when I go running just out here too. Like if it gets too cold, it's like, oh, it's cold. So I really have to work on, I start to do more speed work to make sure the revolutions of my feet are faster. Mm-hmm. To get warmed up. But then after that, I feel fine. People are like, you know, why are you, I get a lot of comments when I run barefoot, like, why are you out here? It's cold. And why it's raining and cold. And you're out here running with no shoes on. I said, oh, it feels great. Mm-hmm. You get used to it.
Yeah. So do you have people stop you and ask you, I mean, just in general, asking you about it?
Yeah. They ask me, you know, here's a funny story. So I'm an Afro-American guy. I'm running through the neighborhood with no shoes on. So somebody called the sheriff on me. So I'm running through this, running barefoot in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The sheriff pulled me over, sat me on the curb and asked me, so why are you running around with no shoes on and trying to break into people's cars?
Uh-huh.
And so I had like two or three police cars came up. They were questioning me like, are you from some kind of a mental ward? Did you escape? And when I was in Indiana, it was freezing cold. And one of those times, so when I run barefoot and it was cold, I run with my hands behind my back because the heat from my back keeps my hands warm. So the cold air hits my core and not my hands. So
put
your hands where your heat is. And when you go forward, you put your hands forward in your pocket. So you put your hands close to your body.
Mm-hmm.
So some lady called and said, there's an escaped convict running down the street.
Oh no, because you had your hands behind your back.
No,
like
he has on no shoes. So he escaped out of jail.
Oh no.
So they pulled me over for that too. I've been pulled over quite a few times.
My goodness. Yeah. And that's something about, you know, I know the people who are, you know, Caucasians, that's not something we have to face, but I know that is an issue. I mean, that's a real thing.
Especially in the rural area where I was at. So it just really like, oh, who is this strange guy I never saw before running with his hands behind his back with no shoes on in the freezing cold.
Yeah. So you said you travel for work. So you get to go into like places where you're not, people are not familiar with you.
You hit the nail right on the head where people are not familiar and they're like, there's something wrong with you. Did you lose your shoes? And oh my God, I give you my shoes if you need it. So I started doing a video of that, just collecting all the comments and putting them on one blog just to see all the comments.
Okay.
So, and also what I've also learned, just as just a funny little tip, here when I'm running and it's that cold, you know, barefoot, I talk about how to keep yourself warm. So I notice, or you notice when you lean forward, there's a little layer of heat on the front of your face. So when you lean forward, it creates like a little barrier. It's not much, but you can tell the difference when you inhale through your nose and exhale through the mouth and you lean forward and it's cold. You're actually breathing in warmer air than it's supposed to you being straight up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just try that and see.
I just heard about that like about 2 weeks ago. And
oh, really?
And I breathe through my mouth like anytime I exert myself, you know, all my life, yeah. I've always breathed in and out through my mouth.
Right.
And it was, you know, we got down to like 6 degrees here. And I was able to go out and run and breathe, and it didn't bother me, but it was 40 degrees. I tried breathing through my nose and it just burned because my nose wasn't used to it.
Oh, and
so my throat was, you know, from breathing through my mouth, you know, cause that's what I always did. But when I tried to breathe through my nose, it's like, man, I says, I'm going to have to do this when it gets warm and then build up to it as, you know, next winter.
You have to build up to it.
And so, but yeah, that's something I've just started practicing this last couple of weeks is breathing in through my nose and out through my mouth.
Yeah. They actually said it's supposed to help you burn weight too, lose weight.
Really? I had not heard that.
Yeah. It's something about losing weight. I'm not a scientist, but I get all these tidbits and put them all together and make my own.
Well, that's, I mean, did you hear what the reasoning was behind the,
I was just happy that, I'm doing something that made sense. Like, okay, yeah. I always stumbled on stuff like, oh yeah, that's right. You should do it that way. Like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, there's a book that, the class that I'm in, they were talking about called Breathe. And I can't remember the name of the author, but it's called Breathe or mm-hmm. Breath. And he talks about the, you know, breathing in through your nose and the how that makes a difference. And,
And also through the diaphragm as well.
Yes.
The center. Yes.
So do you breathe in rhythm with your steps? Do you have a pattern that you do?
It's also like, it's almost like I'm making music. It's like your foot pattern and your breathing, like every three steps, inhale, mm-hmm. exhale, inhale, it's almost like music, inhale, mm-hmm. exhale. So it's a rhythm. And the hardest thing, I had to learn to sink my breathing into my stomach because I started breathing up high, but I have to take it lower. And that's especially important, like if you're running and you lose your footing, a lot of people trip and fall. I also did that with one of my crash videos when you trip and fall, because your weight is centered and sunk down because you're breathing through your stomach. You tend to fall less, or you can gather yourself. You won't fall as easy. You can catch your
breath. I had not heard that.
Yes.
So do you practice, one of the things that singers do is they practice actually expelling all the air out of their lungs. Not on a normal base, but just as a breathing exercise of exhale completely to get your diaphragm used to that motion of pushing the air out and bringing it back in.
Yes. My channel used to be Barefoot Running People, Scoggins Vlog, mm-hmm. but then I revamped it and changed it to Faces of Dave. But I have one video on there now, but I have to make more where I actually sing karaoke and run for 2 miles. So I'm singing the song. So the goal is, like, even in Christmas time, that's actually a drill I have.
Oh, really?
To run barefoot and sing Christmas carols. To use all your breath, and it's actually harder than it sounds. Yeah. So if I inhale and start singing a Christmas carol, I mean, try it. Go out there, pick a Christmas carol and try to do it. It's the most difficult thing that you can, or as you said, inhale and blow all your breath out and just keep running. It's extremely difficult. So yes, I do that. And that's where breathing through the diaphragm really helps.
Yeah. And that's something that I'm just starting to work on, is that diaphragm breathing and getting a good exchange between a good exhale as mm-hmm. well as a good inhale and breathing through my nose. So, there's a lot of, and so do you like kind of go through as you're running and like you're checking your form, and is that like a mental thing that you have to do as you run on a normal basis?
Correct. Yeah. It's yes, I do. I've made so many little minor corrections, like my foot would swing out. I've lined that up. my foot would turn in. I straightened that out. How I, my hand swing, I straightened that. How I lean from my ankles and not leaning forward from my back. And there's also the pelvic tilt. I don't know if you've heard of that, the pelvic tilts forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing yes. that with your breathing.
Your back sways. If your pelvic, yeah. if your pelvis is tilted forward, your back, you got to sway in your back.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you keep your pelvis level.
Correct.
So that, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that transfers over to walking too. I know people say you should walk heel toe, mm-hmm. but I've said, why don't we walk the same way you run? Just pick it up, not let your heel strike first, and as opposed to just the bottom of your foot. And so after doing some reading and studying, they do say, yes, you should be landing the same way you run. Actually, just place your foot down instead of letting your heel strike, because I don't know if you've ever noticed this. I'm always trying to do some way to evolve and become a better human. Like when you go to an amusement park and you have to walk somewhere for a long time, your lower back starts to hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh man, I got to sit down. My lower back is pained and I can't stand up. If you just shift your pelvic and start when you walk, just land on your midfoot and shift your pelvic, your legs will carry the weight and your back will endure. So it makes tremendous changes. You can yes. walk around for hours.
Yeah. 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 And for a person who's an ultra runner, I mean, there's a lot of walking involved. Correct. And when you get up into races that are 30 miles or 40, you know, getting above the, you know, above the marathon distance, and you're going for 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, or, you know, even 24, you need everything you can get.
Right. Any little trick. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really helps. It really does help. So I've yeah. just changed everything.
Breathing. Yeah, well, and if you can switch from walking to running without having to actually change the way you're moving,
right?
It's very helpful, because I mean, if you're going uphill and you can just switch from a run to a whatever walking pace you need to make it up the hill,
right?
And then back into a run, mm-hmm. you know, that's it keeps the same rhythm, it keeps the same focus.
Right.
So that's a real important skill. And you're not very many people actually practice what you're talking about.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, oh, walk heel toe. No, don't do that. Your lower back, you'll definitely feel it. Definitely feel it.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit of arthritis too. So this has actually helped that too.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. So have you done any kind of organized races? I mean, most of it just walking, you know, you're walking or running for your own enjoyment.
I did one organized race in the military. It was like the Army, I think it's the Army 3-miler or 4-miler. And then of course I did my athletic events just when high school and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But mm-hmm. as far as that, it's mostly been me teaching and coaching people on how to run.
Okay.
Trying to motivate people, say, hey, why don't you try running with no shoes and see how it feels, and have to explain to them what's the difference between one and the other, and just to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been running without shoes for how long?
13 years.
13 years.
Yeah. Going on 14 years. And I rarely buy a running shoe. If I do buy a running shoe, I just buy it just to wear, just to casually walk around mm-hmm. in. And I'm still have difficulty considering wearing the minimalist running shoe, because there's just such a different experience with running with no shoe on and mm-hmm. just the connection with the ground. I mean, running with the sandal, I hear people, oh, the strap is digging into my toe, so that this will get rid of the sandal.
Yeah. 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 Well, I made a pair of sandals that are 4 millimeters thick. And
really,
yeah. And so they're comfortable. I mean, I can places where, since I don't have my feet conditioned like yours, but I'll wear those out. You know, I call them my dress shoes.
Right.
And right. So I'll wear them out when we go out somewhere. But so do you, when you're out and working, do you wear regular shoes? If you're traveling for work, I imagine you have to have shoes on to go some of the places you go.
Yeah, just a regular shoe and boot. I like to try to wear a shoe that has the most thinnest sole as I possibly can. If I'm going to an amusement park or something, I would like to probably wear a five-finger shoe because it actually feels like I have no shoes on when I'm mm-hmm. out there. And I know it's not publicly accepted out here in California to go places, public places with no shoes.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people posting, I'm in the grocery store and they're wiggling their toes on the picture. I know you can't do that out here. So that's the closest thing I can get. It's just wearing those five-finger shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah, there was a gentleman that was a pastor, and he went without shoes more from it because he was a missionary pastor, and so he said most of the world doesn't wear shoes, and so he's like, I'm not going to wear shoes either. So it was kind of a religious statement for him, and he got thrown out of Walmart, and he posted and he said, Walmart is a people wear all kinds of weird stuff in Walmart. And why would they throw me out for no shoes? But
I would love to be in those places with no shoes, but unfortunately they don't allow it. They just don't allow it. So,
yeah. And most stores are kind of that way. And even if they don't have it on we used to have signs, you know, no shoes, no shirt, no service.
No service. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, but still, I think most places expect some sort of shoes. So the sandals I have are as close as you can get to having no shoes because they're just this little thin piece of rubber underneath my feet.
Well, my question for you is because I haven't ran in a sandal, how does that help? Doesn't your foot slide around when you wear that? Or
no.
It does not?
If your foot's landing right, I really... Those especially, I don't feel them. I mean, they're not exactly like barefoot, but they're as close as you can get. I still feel, a good bit of the what's underneath me.
What's underneath?
Because if I step on a big rock, it still hurts. But yeah, and I've got a pair that I run on trails as well. So I've got the pair that I made. It was just a piece of a sole. It was a sole material I bought from Amazon, made for sticking on putting on a boot when the sole wears out. And it was just this thin piece of rubber, and I cut it foot shape and poked the holes in it and made the, you know, took the straps and tied it. But then I have another pair that were made by Zero, which is a Huarache style sandal for trail, and they're still thin. And
wow.
Those are the things that I usually use. But I do go, there's some roads around here near my house that I will go fully barefoot because they're not too bad. And by the end of the summer, I usually get a pretty good, my feet are fairly well conditioned.
Well, good. Yeah. Conditioning is very, very important to me. I just find it so difficult to run in the shoe. There's such an experience when the sole of your foot hits the ground. I don't know if you've ever felt running so far to where you just don't want to stop when the bottom of your foot hits the ground. It's like mm-hmm. you can get into this meditative trance and you just want to keep going and going and going and going. It's like, this can be dangerous in a way because I'll just keep running and I'll be late for work.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I do notice, there, I can tell if I, even just the most minimal sandals, it's not like running full barefoot. And,
right. Yeah.
So,
but that's it on that.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on and talking about barefoot running. And the people who listen to my show, if I get a chance, I'll always talk about the advantages of barefoot running. And I've only been doing, I started last year. So I'm not nearly at the level that you are as far as experience, but for me, it's been a good decision. And I tell people, I said, try it. It's, there's a bit of a learning curve, like you said,
right?
But
of course,
but it was worth it for me. So
yeah. Yes, it was. It is.
And I appreciate your story. So how people who want to, if they hear this and wanted to connect with you on through your YouTube channel, what is the name of your YouTube channel again?
It is Faces of Dave Vlog Channel.
Okay.
Just Faces of Dave Vlog Channel.
Faces of Dave Vlog Channel. Okay.
Yes.
And then, and so you people can comment and interact with you there. And
yes, I look for people to say, what would you like to see me try? So I always try to look for something new because I've do some pretty extreme things. I'm an extreme runner. So I always look for a new idea. You've got something extreme, let me hear it and let's see if we can try it.
And you've got a lot of good information about how to go about barefoot running. If somebody was interested in trying it out.
Yes.
You've got a lot of good, based on your experience. And so, you've got a lot of years of doing this. So
yeah. Trial and error.
Yeah. Trial and error is down here. Well, I found it's good if I could learn from someone else's trial and error.
That's always better.
Let someone else make the mistakes and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So, and I've gotten some good information from your channel. So I've appreciated that.
I actually appreciate you just looking me up. It's good to see that somebody sees it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just doing this in vain.
Yeah. Yeah. I have experienced the benefits of what you're talking about. And so I was like, yeah, I wanted to give you a way to reach out and then maybe somebody would connect with you and you could have an impact on changing somebody else's way of running like you have for you. So
I hope so. That's what I look forward to doing. So yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I appreciate it. Usually I've got about a couple of weeks of these chats that I've got in the hopper. So what I'll do is I'll connect with you and let you know kind of when this is published and where the links are and everything, if you wanted to share it. So
yes, I would definitely like
people. People might want know you a little bit more than just on your video channel. So
good. Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review. And don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as @UltramarathonMindset, or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.